The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton.
Good night, Bahamas. It's a rainy night, so please drive with caution and do care. There are some persons walking on the side of the road, so while you're driving, please don't splash no water on them. And there's a lot of traffic backup, so for your safety and the next motorist, please drive with due care and caution. Good night. I'm Valentino Brand, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone number tonight, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Yes, and we have a stand-in producer in studio, stepping in tonight, Mr. Penniman. He is a UB intern. He's taking up journalism. I think this is last year, so we hope to see him on the news, doing a great, great job at a great profession that can actually make a big difference in the country. So we wish you all the best of luck, and you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful show tonight. In studio tonight, I have a very special person in the studio. Also, someone who make something big happen in my life, has to change my mindset. But this person is very special to the whole entire Bahamas. They have been doing policing for over 30-something years in the country, have made tremendous impact in the lives of so many. Besides being a police officer, before retirement, was committed to making a difference in the community that he resided in as a little boy. And he has developed a community center, Big Harvest Community Center, and he has stayed committed to helping develop the younger people of the community of Grandstand. And this is so very important. He was talking off air, and he told me that his wife is getting ready to put him out because he does so much work in the community. He said he's spending so much time in the community, you know. So she said that, you know, you got to park the stuff up, you know. Yes, so let me introduce a wonderful person that has contributed greatly to the country and still contributing greatly now as a retired former top cop, assistant commissioner of police, John W. Ferguson. And you're also JP? Mm-hmm. Wow, tremendous.
Bishop.
And a bishop also just recently.
Yes.
Oh, great. That's crazy. You're also the founder of the Big Harvest Community Center, that is situated through, what's it again? What's Ali? I shouldn't even be hesitating to know the name of the corner, but sometimes we'll be so busy talking, we kind of forget certain stuff. It's been doing tremendous work as to reach the young people and all the people in the community to help them with education, teach them about the word of God, but most importantly, to assist any way he can to make them a better citizen. He does Sunday school, you know. That's Worlds, what's it? Worlds Alley in the inner city of Nassau. So this is something that goes down every year.
Yep.
Yes. And also we do Sunday school. So The Sunday school, it's every Sunday?
Yes. First, let me say thank you.
Sorry, my bad.
Valentino, for inviting me on your program tonight. And I am always happy to be in touch with you.
Yes, sir.
And you, the question you asked about the Big Harvest Community Sunday School, we have been having afternoon, in particular, afternoon Sunday school now for almost 26 years.
Wow.
In Woods Alley. Well, of course, as you can appreciate, the pandemic has really slowed us down, but it has not stopped us because we are constantly through there, not only during the week, but particularly on Sunday afternoon, doing what we have been called to do, to minister to the young people, the children, the at-risk youth in that particular area of New Providence.
And wow.
I can tell you, for the past 26 years plus, we have seen tremendous results as a result of what we have been doing, and we feel no way discouraged. We are going to continue to press on, and we are only waiting for the complete this COVID to completely get out of our jurisdiction, or at least slow down, so that we can get back to face-to-face teaching of the youngsters, because we have been inundated with requests from people saying, look, y'all can't stop. We have to get the children back in the community center school because, you know, we need that assistance to continue. And I understand their concern, but at the same time, we have to be cautious in what we're doing. And that is what has been happening now for a little over a year. But we are still planning for January coming, the 30th, God's willing, 2022, a virtual abbreviated Sunday school rally in the alley, which the community has been accustomed to, and they are looking forward to that. And we are doing our the best that we can to adjust it, to make sure that we cover it properly, and we can move according to the protocol and everything else that will probably still be in place for that occasion.
Wow, tremendous. If anyone knows about Woods Alley was a corner with a lot of problems, a lot of shooting incidents. And Mr. Ferguson has been working in the community, as he said, for many, many years. And through the dedication and service and commitment to making it a better place. It's a struggle. You know, it's ups and downs. You know, it's a struggle. But he has been able to maintain it through his private sponsors who have been assisting him for many years on giving back to him so he could get back to the community. What is most important, why I asked Mr. Ferguson to come in, you know, we recently had an incident, but we're going to talk about that in the later part of the show. So all this ties in to what is happening in our country today. So I want to show the people how so important person like Mr. Ferguson are in the community. So before we get into there, there's a reason, you know, you're a former retired Commissioner of Police. Former Assistant Commissioner of Police. You're getting your pension. Why is the need for you, you know, after doing all those years on the force, okay? Why is it that you're going to spend your time in the community of Woods Alley?
To be quite frank with you, and before I move on to that, I have to give some credit to my family, my wife,
wow,
my children, and my in-laws, and also my parents, who are now deceased, and a lot of other volunteers who have assisted me,
yes,
assisted us in keeping that work the way it is and moving on.
Wow.
As you can also appreciate, I have been a minister in the Church of God of Prophecy for over 25 years.
Wow.
And I was recently ordained to the bishopric.
Wow, congratulations.
So, thank you very much.
Well deserved.
Yeah, so I always tell people, you know, you don't need a title to do God's business and God's work. But I am grateful, you know, that it was seen fit that that particular office was bestowed upon me by my local assembly. And wow, I thank God for that.
Yes.
But getting back to what you had originally asked about, I really believe that I have been called. In fact, I don't believe that. I know that. I have to have been called to do what I am doing. Because after spending 40 years, consecutive years, in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, I saw the good, the bad, and the ugliness of humanity. And I always believe that a man's heart is where things originate from. And if you find a person who wants to do well, who would like to do well, and he does not have anyone to encourage him to go and do what he would want to do, then he will continue to do bad things. And the small society that we are living in requires that all hands have to be on deck to assist the young people in our community. And it cannot just be done from the four walls of a building. I always tell people, battles are fought on a battlefield. You cannot fight, you don't fight, soldiers don't fight battles in a building. And there are so many people who are saying they are on the battlefield for their Lord. But literally, they're not there. Because in our inner city communities, like you can appreciate,
yes,
there's a lot of work, tremendous lot of work to be done. We have hundreds of youngsters. Some of them, they don't know who their fathers are. They have not been christened in any church. They are aimlessly in search of someone to point them in the right direction. And you can't wait until they are 15, 16, 17 to go after them. They are halfway through their adolescent age. Wow. You have to nip them from 2, 1, 3, so that you can groom them and fashion them into what you want them to be. And that is one of the things, one of the success of our community Sunday school. We have been able to harness them at a very young age. And we have persons, youngsters who pass through our Sunday school system who are now in Canada, all over the place, in the United States, who have done well. And they attribute their upbringing to what they not only learn in Sunday school, but their hearts have been changed and conditioned because of the things that they learn, particularly the fruits of the Spirit.
Wow.
You have a lot of people who profess to be Christians, but you cannot see those fruits. The first one is love. That's the first fruit. And how can you say you are a Christian and following after Jesus Christ, who was love, and nobody can feel your love? They only hear you saying what you is, but they can't feel it. They can't see it. You never give nobody a glass of water. You pass people like you don't know them. You drive to these communities, and you just drive through. Fella asks you for 10 cents. You look at him like he's crazy. All he asked for is 10 cents. These are the little things that can be done to show people that you really appreciate them.
Wow.
You know?
You said some very powerful words just now. Most made me cry because that's the obstacle we're facing in the country, you know. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing, because your upbringing, heart to heart, something to do with the kind of passionate and caring person you are. So let's hear about your upbringing. So let's just see how you grew and grew,
yeah,
and grew.
Oh, man. My upbringing started right in woods, then known as Choke-Neck Alley.
Choke-Neck Alley.
Choke-Neck Alley.
Yes.
And Bishop Simeon Hall, he always talk about his
Choke-Neck Alley experience. Yes, that's what people don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, Choke-Neck Alley. Yes.
Choke-Neck Alley was where I was born and grew up with the boys, all the little boys around the area. We were being mischievous, throwing rock and doing this and doing that. But one thing we had was those elders, those senior neighbors who kept us in check. I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor. My mother was a wonderful Christian lady. It was 9 of us. And we grew up in that area, grew up and eventually moved out. But when I joined the police force, I was 17 years and 6 months.
17 years?
Right out of high school.
Wow.
17 years and 6 months.
Wow.
And the foundation that I got growing up as a little boy is still the foundation I was building on. the point I'm making is when I entered the police college, they didn't have to tell me that
about
I have
discipline.
To say yes. Discipline. They didn't have to say you have to say yes, sir,
no, sir.
That was a part of my persona.
The curricular system.
Yeah, system. That was in the system. Because, you know, some youngsters, you have to tell them, look, you have to say yes, sir, because he's older than you, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't have to tell me that. Mm. And that's how my life has been, has been going ever since until the present age. And I have learned that as long as you build on the foundation, you see, you can't start a house with the roof first. You can't start a house building the walls. You have to start with the foundation.
And make sure the foundation
is
strong.
The foundation have to be with rock, solid rock and
yes.
concrete.
Cutting the lime.
Cutting, yeah, man. And once that foundation is strong, you could always know a house with a strong foundation. You can't root it up. You don't root up foundations. You could
yes.
take off a roof and repair walls, but you can't root up foundation because it's strong.
Yes.
And Jesus himself said a house that is built on sand, it will fall. But when your house is built on a rock, and that's how we have to build the lives of our young people.
Yes.
And so many are falling between the cracks and falling because the foundation is bad.
Yes.
Foundation is bad.
Wow. Wow. That's a real good input, how you describe describing it.
Yeah. And you see, and let me add to that. Taking someone to church is one thing. I used to go to church 3 times on Sunday, you know. But it's what came into my heart sitting down when it was decided that I have to make the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
So you were convinced without a doubt?
Absolutely.
Based on your upbringing?
Yeah.
And based on the village concept, because you had people, you know, you said you used to throw rock just like other kids, but you said something so important that you had elders in the community
yes.
who would tell you.
They rebuke you. You can't do this.
So it's a village concept.
Village concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
With your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yes, that's all good. But you have elders who are
mm-hmm.
your mom and
those
dad.
Those neighbors. Yeah.
Who mm-hmm. are your neighbors. But they actually are your mom and dad also because they will make sure that you do the right thing. If they see you doing something wrong, if you're in danger,
right.
they would come and assist you.
Exactly.
If you're being misbehaved, they would go to your mom and dad and make sure you get a nice disciplinary
exactly.
and make sure that at the end of the day, they still apologize to the person who even
right.
went to their mom and dad. You would have to apologize to them.
That's
what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about in the neighborhood of that era.
Yes.
You know, everybody looked out
for one another.
All the children were known throughout everyone in the neighborhood. They could have looked at a child and said, that's Miss So-and-so child, or that's Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so son. And they looked out for you,
yes.
you know. And if you did anything, they would report you to your mother or your dad, and you know what happens after
and
that.
And if anyone was to bother with the kids in the community, the community would also
do
their best to get that matter dealt with in a timely fashion, either get the authorities or they
mm-hmm.
get together as a group and have to deal with the poison as a community base, you know,
that's
get
right.
the police involved.
That's right.
They're going to notify the police. They're going to make sure if the poison is doing something that is affecting the community and et cetera and et cetera.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying that, people, that darling Bella, if we had a village concept and we were not afraid to call the police or step in, the things Mr. Ferguson is talking about the community and why he's still in the community, because in our community, kids would confide on Ferguson. So if there's some type of incident where their life's in danger or they're being mistreated, they know it in their heart, the community know in their heart, it could be a teenager, it could be a grown-up, they know in their heart who to go to.
Yes.
And that could be the difference between life and death.
Yes.
So what you're saying is very important, the community aspect.
Yeah.
And that's why community centers are so important.
Yes.
I just want to say that, I was going to save that part for a later part of the show, but I just wanted to let the listeners know though, how it's so important to have a community center, to have persons like Pastor Ferguson who are constantly in the community, who people confide in, you know, if they're in danger, if they need something to eat, and et cetera, whatever it is.
Yes.
There's some kind of assault on or threatening on their life.
Yeah.
Well, you could go to pastor and pastor could refer the matter to the authorities or something, and he might deal with it himself as an individual, him and his church. So this is very important.
Yes.
So this show today is actually called Little Bella, and why we got to put all our resources into having a strong community and build a village back.
Yes.
So that how she walked across the road to that lady. And I felt that lady, and when that lady said that she feels so bad knowing that she could do more, that she could call the police and do more. And she turned her back. I felt it for the lady, because you talk about the village concept and how the little girl know people who love her. She walked from across the road, out the house, and went to the lady. And the lady said she fed her. And then her mommy came home later. But the little girl went from danger to somebody looking for assistance. And she assists in a certain matter, but she didn't know that it was going to end up the way it ended up. But after it happened, it saddened her. And I'm guarantee you to this day, it would never happen in front of eyes ever again. She would have to, she would call the police, she'd do what is necessary.
Yeah.
You know, so I only went and said that.
No, well, I could appreciate your emotions, because anything that affects children, particularly
we love children, you know, our community, all love children.
Yeah, that's the future of your country. That's the future of your church. The children, those young children, 3, 4, 5, 6, you have to protect them, because they cannot protect themselves. And we as elders, we as adults, we as community leaders, we as pastors, we as youth leaders, church leaders, whatever you are. That's why I keep saying it is more than a title.
It's more than a title.
It's more than a title.
Yes.
You see, anybody could wear a title and just sit down and say, that's what I am. But now the action of actually being proactive to make your title worthy of what it is. Jesus came on this earth and he made a difference. You know, he said, I am the way. And he was quite forceful in the way he evangelized the world. And he left us to do basically the same thing. And that's why in these communities where we have challenges and problems and people and young people are looking to us for answers, we have to be in a position to help them. Other than that, what purpose do you serve?
You ain't serving no purpose.
What purpose do you serve?
Suffer under the little children.
Yeah.
So you know what that means, right?
What purpose do you serve? And the book specifically said, if you offend one of these children,
one child,
if you offend them, it's better for you to take a block, and I say a concrete block, not just a regular block, a concrete block, a millstone, the way the Bible describes it. Put that around your neck and jump overboard in the ocean. Now, you know you can't swim in a block.
You know what that means for you when you get to hell, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying now. If you offend one of these children. So people who are going around offending children, abusing them for no reason at all, just to satisfy their own fantasy.
Yes.
Man, I feel sorry for them.
Yes.
I'm sorry for them.
We're going to get right to that. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Good night, Mr. Brown.
Good night.
How is everybody?
We're fine.
That's wonderful.
How are you doing?
Well, God keeping us, and I'm happy to hear you are in the inner city. You have Bishop Ferguson on tonight. Yeah, as one of your co-hosts. And I must say that the police force is bright. The future is bright, because we have plenty future new commissioners. So, Pastor Ferguson.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, I always, when I come to the events, I stand across the road, meaning Dwight Berry and
Stuart
Abbey. Oh, yeah. I see, you know, because, you know, I'm a Christian, but here's what I want to commend you for saying to the nation, that the most important thing is the foundation, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. I tell all the boys, and I tell the clerk, look here, and the main school chief, I always start with this, and I say the main thing is to have Jesus Christ in your heart as we fight in a losing battle. And that does be my job. And one thing I must say, too, as it relates to school chief, one of our main concern is don't play with our children. Yes, we may be former gangsters and all that garbage, but don't play with the children and in the community. And as for you, Mr. Ferguson, me being a part of Border, being part of Ali A Street, I must say that you use two personal events for us, personal events for the children. It's a good thing. Now, yes, because she's crying about how terrible some police is on the police force last week and all this stuff. But I'm glad to know that he bring you on to know that there is hope in the police force. So we are not lost. Mm-hmm. And I said, we release our dearly beloved Bella. At least she was a sacrifice to open our eyes that our children is most important to us. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy the show, y'all. Still enjoying it. Thank you, Mr.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much. That's Rodney Tiger.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Tiger, you know how you go. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And Tiger, you know, like I said last week when I conferred to the police, you know, I don't want to get in the matter. Mr. Ferguson was one of the officers who arrested me and made me change around my life. That people don't even know this. You know how much firearms I gave to Mr. Ferguson and them? I was one of the first person to give firearms to the police officers, you know, because I wanted to change my life. After I sat down and talked to her, you was a sergeant then or inspector?
I was an assistant superintendent.
Assistant superintendent.
Yes.
And I got caught with a .380 pistol that you gave me, Tiger. The same gentleman who called me this now, he was the one who gave me the .380 pistol that I got locked up with. But that's how it was when you're leader of the gang. So I'm just saying this to say how I had a conversation last meeting. I was referring to good officers like Mr. Ferguson, because when I got locked up, that was a changing point in my life, you know, because I was in their hands now. And to me, they talked to me, you know. I had a conversation with the officers, and they asked me, why are you this way? You need to change your life, you know. And for me, you know, seeing it from a senior cop, you know, well-respected. See, that's when we had respect for cops, because we know Ferguson is cocky guys, and we have the utmost respect for them, because they is the guys who run the station. They don't have to let you use the bathroom. They don't have to let you make a phone call. They don't let you get your food coming in the station. They don't want to let your family come and see you. But they always improvise, even though I was a guy who was a problem for the country. But when I was in custody under his wing, I was protected and treated fairly. And that made me change my life. And then when I started to talk, I asked him Green Slade. And it made me realize, you know, let me make this change. So they said, you know, it's the time. So I said, you know, I think I had a shotgun. I have a .225. And I had an next shotgun. And I gave them to Austin Green Slade. And after that, I started to change around my life, try to get away from company. So you see, they talked to me when I was in custody. And mind you now, there was a sign to arrest me. Now you see where we are?
Yes.
Look where we are now.
Yes.
We are both community leaders in the same community.
Yeah.
So life is serious.
Yeah, you know, you talk, listening to you, you made my mind go on when Paul went before Agrippa.
Wow.
That's a powerful testimony. The Apostle Paul, he told Agrippa what he was. And, you know, Paul was one of the greatest workers the church has ever known. And his testimony was so powerful, just like how you did just now, that King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul ended up, like I said, writing so many letters to those various churches, the church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Rome, and the church at Philippi. And you can be a modern Paul, so to speak.
Wow.
What you said just now is so powerful.
Yes.
Because, Scrooge, you know, and I know, you guys, y'all, man, y'all were
something. We're terrorists.
Y'all were terrorists. And
yes, sir.
At that time, the firearms unit was just organized.
Yes.
And those fellas in that unit, they were ready.
Yo, a pit bully.
Oh, man, those guys.
These guys were on us. I mean, we stashing our gun. I when you look at the officers there, we just wondering what happened here.
Hay Street area and Lewis Street, that was a terrible area. And we had to set a special strategic thing in place in order to bring you all under control.
Wow.
But now, like you said, look at where you are today.
Yes.
So, as you know, a lot of the fellas didn't make it.
No, a lot. The list could go on for miles. Let's go on to miles.
So, but God is good.
Yes, God is good. We can take this call. You have a lot of callers, so we're going to take this call. Go ahead, you're on Inside Inner City.
Hello, good night.
Go ahead, good night. You're on.
Good night, Mr. Brown, and good night to former Assistant Commissioner Mr. Ferguson.
Good night, good night.
I heard him outline how he was brought up in the inner city. I being from Greencastle, Luther, joined the police force in 1974 at 17 and 4 months. So when I passed out in 75, the question was, the superintendent in charge of college at the police college decided that I would have to stay back. I said, I don't think that can be feasible. But anyhow, God had it that they allowed me to pass out at the Wake Central Police Station for the first time, my first assignment. So they kept me indoors. I wasn't assigned to any police duty outside Central Police Station because I was still a juvenile as far as this is concerned. And so I had the privilege of waking with Mr. Ferguson. I could even remember his number, 73.
Oh, 83.
We patrolled the streets.
Listen.
New Providence. So, and then I worked with him at another place where he's the chief of security, where he retired from a couple of years ago. And I must congratulate him again on his ordination with the church. He's doing a remarkable job. I've been to his church that he's shepherding through the corner there about two or three times. I got invitations. I was there several times, but not in recent times. And I'm glad to know that he's keeping up the good work, trying to build men and women, because trust me, we really need it. He's definitely a community builder. You say after all those old 40 years in the force, and then he would have saved another place for some other years, and still going along strong, trying to convince the younger people and nurture them the way forward in terms of Christianity. I can't even say enough. But I would say one thing, Mr. Ferguson, you must keep up the good works, and you can give your regards to your wife and children, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you very much for your kind compliments. And like I said, I know that I have been called to do what I'm doing. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set those who are captive free." And when He said those words, He closed the book. And he sat down.
Wow.
And you cannot compromise that. You cannot change that. That's what Jesus said.
Wow. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scoochie. How you doing?
I'm fine. You driving safe? You driving safe?
Yeah,
all right, great.
Yeah, my big part I was in the road, just now I'm going to take over Mikado.
Go ahead, my brother.
Good. Just there, happy Knowles. I just called
you. Yeah, I'm Mr. Knowles.
Yeah, man. I just call to congratulate you and Bishop, man, because, you know, you're doing some enormous things. And, you know, the thing about it is that when the police and the community can work together, we have powerful things happening. I know Bishop has moved on, but you know, what's the police, always the police in my mind. And, you know, if you all continue to encourage others to what you all are doing, you do encourage others, then, you know, we get, at one point, everybody's going to start getting to respect one another, and then somebody's guns and the like will start getting put down faster.
Yes.
And they can pick up their cross.
Yes.
So I just want to encourage you guys.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And Mr. Knowles, I would love for you to invite Mr. Ferguson on your podcast. Oh, you've been there already? Oh, yeah, yes, you remember. Yeah, sorry, but I'm sorry. Yes, you remember. I watch it. I'm sorry. My bad. I deleted.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Yes.
But, you know, the whole idea is to try and from whatever avenue you have, some people are good at talking. Some people are good at doing hands work. Some people are good at assisting to counseling. Whatever it is, just do what you could do. Whatever it is that you can do, and
absolutely,
don't try to be somebody else. you know, y'all talked about people driving through the neighborhood and just either screwing up the window and don't say anything. Scared. Some of these people want to help, but they don't know how to go about it. So maybe y'all could share that to people too, so that they could know how they could get involved in your two programs.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Nosey. You're a wonderful guy. I think you're doing a wonderful job on your podcast, and you keep up the good work. I like the guest lineup that you offer. And I did saw Mr. Ferguson, I just saw my bad, and I apologize.
No
you did a wonderful job. So,
thank you, man. You're doing well.
Thank you very much.
To piggyback on what he said, our theme for our next rally, God's willing, is going to be Brighten Your Corner.
Brighten Your Corner.
Brighten Your Corner. Wow. So if you were in a corner, brighten it. Don't worry that you can't get out the corner. Brighten where you are.
Yes.
Brighten your corner.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Be the leader.
Yeah.
Brighten up your corner. Make
be,
a difference.
Yeah, make a difference.
Be there.
Yeah, be there.
Be there for a little Bella and for many of the kids who are going to need you in your community.
Yeah, in your community. If all of us were to do, if you see every congregation, every church, every institution, every social club, every whatever, was to do what their mission statement say and what they've been mandated to do, we will turn the city upside down. Turn it upside down.
You see the progress we've been making in that small area with Salem Union Baptist Church, your community center, Danahan.
Yes.
You see the progress we're making?
And I must commend, the churches in that area. I'm glad you brought that up. Salem, Mount Pleasant Green.
Yes.
With Bishop Wesley Thompson.
Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah. Church of God of Prophecy, Tabernacle, Bishop Hugh and Hannah.
Yes,
Mr. Pastor there.
Yes.
Again, Salem, Pastor Hugh the Rule. They are all involved in that community.
Yes.
Proactively involved.
Yes.
You know, and I commend them because this battle is a huge battle and one army can't do it.
Because we fight against demon also.
You're fighting against Satan and his whole host.
Because, not to say cut you off, but that gentleman who did the heinous crime to the young lady, to me, he's a human being, but to me, he's demonic. He let the essence of the devil get in him, and he took away innocent.
Well, I wouldn't commend too much on that from that angle because, you know, because it's before the court and you don't want to say anything, you know, regarding it, and you want to be very guarded with what you say. But the point I want to make is we can do a lot of preventative things for the future.
Yes.
So that all of these people who are involved in abusing children, offending children, if we can prevent that from happening, then it wouldn't reach the stage to which it is reaching.
And to prevent it, we need community centers.
Yes, you have to be on the ground.
Right. We need community-minded voices. The church active.
Yeah, proactive.
The police active.
Everybody proactive.
The government is working with the organization as the sponsor and see what they can do to bring resources to the community centers and et cetera.
You see, this is a small, New Providence is a small island. Mm-hmm. Nassau is a small city.
Yes.
And it is not like you have to go 100 miles to do anything.
Yes.
You could stand on South Beach and see Bay Street.
Yes, you're right.
So everybody knows everyone within that particular parameter.
You can say what you could say about the inner city community. And abuse does go on in the community.
Yes.
Because, you know, he talked about the upbringings of the female. He talked about the upbringings of the male. So if you have a broken person, when he talked about, you know, you can't train them when they're 16 and 17 and 18. So we have youngsters, especially females, you know, have not been accustomed to get that community, village type of treatment. What I mean, in other words, you're growing up in the community, you're doing something wrong, but your people in the community who know what's right, they stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. I know your mom, I'm gonna go there now, or I'm gonna carry you there now, okay? What has happened to our society now is they don't have that.
Right.
And that's why we're saying the community standards are so important so that we could teach them from the age of one, like you said, from the age of two, what's right, what's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, teach them how to respect a child.
Yes.
Teach them how to respect a woman. Teach them how to respect themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Teach them importance of a child. Teach them what's important of life.
Yeah.
This is the reason why you should not do this, because if you go, then you do this, right? You are condemning yourself to a life of crime where you could spend a long time in prison. And also, if you do something bad, you know, and sometimes one mistake, that's all you need to make, and then your life is over.
Yeah.
Okay? And we have to let the kids them know that if you make this mistake, and we have to use instances like while in crime as an example, if you were to get yourself involved and not go on the right path, not to listen, you're supposed to be in school learning your education, you know, you're supposed to be able to listen to all the older person in your community. See, all of this is something that we really have to work on in the country. So, Mr. Yeah. Ferguson, you know, when I look at this whole situation, you are so important. And in our community, I wouldn't say a situation can't happen like what happened to Bella. But I can tell you one thing. If that child was to walk out from any one of those corners or any one of those hosts in the Grandstand, Lewis Street area and go for help, I'm going to tell you, she was going to get help. She was going to get it because we have a close rule where we don't bother with children in the community. We don't allow rape in our community.
Yeah.
You know, we are working on ways to stop murders. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of training. But for some reason in our community, we have this thing in us where we don't harm children.
Yeah.
Where we don't rape women in our community. Yeah. And our community, as you can see, is building.
Yes.
It is building, and we are getting to become like a village again.
Yeah.
Right? So, in other words, what I'm saying is this. It's very important, the Amin people, that we start immediately developing your community wherever you are. There are some people you might not like in the community, right? If you have to, you could work around those persons, or coming together for a cause that is bigger than everyone, pulls everyone together, where they, even if they don't like you.
Yeah.
So in other words, what I'm saying to you, there's something big going on in this country.
Yeah.
And if we don't get together as a family again in these communities, we are bound to fail.
Well, I think now that, again, like I said, the COVID pandemic has caused a lot of things to happen. And we, as a people, have not been able to move around as much as we would like to because everybody is cautious about how they interact.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Particularly with children. So people have really been keeping their children
home
and indoors.
You're right.
But despite all of that happening, life moves on, life goes on, and things are happening. So in order to prevent, as we move forward, in order to prevent these things from happening, we have to now be more on the alert. And as we open up, now we realize people are now going to start moving around. Children are going to be moving around in the community. And everyone have to now watch out for these predators, I call them, pedophiles,
mm-hmm.
who all they're looking at is children. And you have to be able to identify them. And when you identify them, call the police or let somebody know
in the community
that I don't trust this one or I see something. Let the police know. Let social services know what is going on. You know, people are too hush-hush when it comes to certain things. Mm-hmm. And that is what is stifling us as a people.
Fear.
Yeah, fear. And all of the ways of reporting crimes and these things is available. You can call the police and nobody have to know you call. You know. And that is what should be happening.
Mm.
And we wouldn't have these things happening in our community.
And also, I'm gonna let you continue your topic. I just wanna say this. Ladies, be careful of the guy who you're gonna get yourself involved with. Because you don't know him when he's mad, okay? Do you know him when he's happy? Do you know him when he's break? So you have to think about all these things, okay? You just can't go liking any and everybody. Check his background, though. give it a 6 months before you sleep with him, just to see if he's going to wait on you. It don't have to be 6 months. I'm just saying these things because, see, sex, excuse me, Pastor, sex causes a person to fall in love, okay, and make bad choices. So let's see if this young man is willing to wait on you and, you know, you're trying to get your life together, okay? Because that he might not be partable for you. You don't know how his upbringing is. You don't know if he was abused as a young man. You don't know if he was in prison. And if he was in prison, you need to find out why he was in prison and what reason he was in prison. And if it was for something that you feel that is not right for a person to commit a certain crime, why would you want to be with that person? Yeah. You don't need to be with him. You could wait. You know, you're making a lot of bad choices. Oh, you're dealing with a lot of young men who are broken. And that's why Pastor Ferguson has his community center. He has his community center so that he could teach young men and young ladies discipline. What is right? What is wrong? Okay? What's acceptable and what is not acceptable? You know, what you should try to achieve as a young man and what you should try to achieve as a young lady. Okay? Many of these persons don't have that. They don't have no future because their life is just based on everyday life, no upbringing. And Pastor Ferguson mentioned the fact that his mom was a Christian.
Oh, definitely. Right? Grew up in a Christian home.
And your father.
Yeah, was a pastor.
Was a pastor. Mm-hmm. So this played a very important role in his life. And that is what guided him to become the person he is today and to be able to give back. So ladies, listen. Pick your man wisely, okay? Because the man you like, I don't say he can't change or he ain't a good person. You know, he might smile today. But what happened when we have a row and et cetera? You know?
Yeah.
And then the most thing when it comes with love is that when you start to have sex together, you start to think for yourself. And if you have children, you forget about your children. And then someone could come in your life. You just meet 6 months to a year ago. And you're going to leave them with a person you just meet 6 months ago. You don't know this person from a can of pink.
Hmm.
You know? And then if there's problem, you know? So you got to be careful. You can't just let everyone come in your life and put your children on them and say, watch them, you know? And the same thing goes with gentlemen, with the ladies. You got to watch the lady you're having your child with because she might be the same type of, have that same type of mentality. So sometimes you have to wait as a gentleman too because if you see a girl out there who, and like I say, I'm not criticizing nobody, but we have a serious problem in our country.
Yeah, social problem.
We got to make right choices.
Yeah.
We just can't go like any and everybody because someone broke a heart.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw one of
you. No, I can understand and appreciate what you're saying because you have to remember how God ordained the family. You know, the family is originally ordained by God. And if you are having problem with a product, then you have to go where the product was made and the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to God and you ask him to fix that problem for you. And he ordained the family structure, husband, wife, children. And within that structure, there should be order and discipline. Now, when you go outside of what the manufacturer manufactured, then when the problem starts, then you really have a problem. It's simple as that.
And that's why we get this big mess now.
I'm telling you, a lot of people, the modern day people are not going to agree with you on that. You know, and fine. But let's be real. We are in the city
every day.
And we see the results of when you have wayward young men who cannot identify with nobody.
Nobody.
They don't know who their daddy is. They know who their mother is, but she can't control the fella because he out of hand. And you don't know where he getting this. They went, how he get like this? You got to go back to where it originated.
You see? Broken home.
And like you say, we know about this. Every day. Every day I meet young boys and I ask them, I say, who are you connected with? Who's your parent? Some of them look in the sky and like they mm-hmm. say, you ain't drop out of the sky. You were born to a woman.
And to prove what you're saying, ride through the inner city community right now and you see young boys standing up on the corner. Where's their father?
They couldn't tell you.
Where's their father?
That's the first thing I ask them. Who's your daddy? Where is he? They tell you some nonsense, something that don't make sense. You know the amount of young boys who calls me daddy. I'm sure you had that experience.
I have so much. I laugh.
They come big young men say, come daddy, daddy. Daddy.
I say, that's my name. That's they call me.
They call me daddy.
You too?
Man, they call me daddy. Because I treat them the same way I treat my son.
Yes.
If the fella say, man, daddy, give me a dollar. If I have it, I give it to him. You know, that's how fathers operate.
Yes. Yeah, so be careful on who you leave your children with. You know, we saw an incident with a 12-year-old, and this is the most disturbing thing about it, Mr. Fox, and then we're going to get back to the topic. It was in the newspaper, and a girl went home early from work, and every minute on Facebook, and when she came home, she met her boyfriend sleeping with her 12-year-old daughter. And this is the disturbing part. The 12-year-old said a year prior, he was bottom with her. So you see the problem we have in this country.
Yeah.
So a year prior, 12-year-old. So what you think is going to happen to her if she don't get mentors right now in her life?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? She's going to be devastated.
Yeah.
And this is what we're facing right now.
We'll be facing that. But there is hope.
Yes.
And we have, like I said, we have a lot of social clubs and social avenues.
And you're going to strengthen them.
Strengthen them. That can deal with these issues. It may be, bursting at the seams, but we can't give up.
No, we can't.
We can't give up. We have to continue to press on and do as much as we can to help.
Yes. Little Bella asks for help.
Yeah.
She asks for help.
Yeah.
You know, she asks for help. You know,
we have to help.
She asks. Now she's asking for all other kids.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
we have to be proactive in everything we do.
Yes.
And that's why I am a proponent of getting what is happening in the four walls of our churches, getting them into the community, on the basketball court, under the tamarind tree, under the connect tree, where the children are playing dominoes. That's how you have to get these youngsters involved. And, you know, a lot of people may say, oh, that's the old-fashioned way.
That's the right way.
That's the right way. You know, again, like I say, we are in a very small country.
They say that's the old-fashioned way?
Yeah, they've a lot
that's
of...
the old-fashioned?
Do you know the amount of people who believe that Sunday school is old-fashioned?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm telling you. As far as they're concerned, we don't need that no more.
Let me give you a good example. Just like how we have to go back to farming now to feed ourselves. Just had a COVID-19 and Hurricane Dorian did some stuff to us. See now we have to go back to the old way with the bush medicine and et cetera. To build up your immune system.
I'm telling you.
We got to go back to the old way.
That's the way people think.
So anytime you get away to the old way and bring in the new, then sometimes the new don't ain't right.
Man, let me tell you something. The other day, I had to drink some fevergrass tea.
Uh-huh.
One that tastes good.
Yes, sir. That's what I drink.
I drink a couple of doses of that.
Yes.
And I feel good.
Yes. Yes. You know. I drink pale leaf tea. I drink fevergrass tea.
So people may be saying a lot of things are old-fashioned,
mm-hmm.
particularly when it comes to religion.
Uh-huh.
Boy, let me tell you something. I don't care what they say. That old-time religion.
It's true.
And I have seen so many people who have been successful
mm-hmm.
because they held on
to their religion.
And their belief.
Yes.
That this is what is good for me. And I will be involved because the Sunday school is a movement.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what they say. It's a movement. Just last year, in 2020, the first part before the pandemic, my wife and I, we were in London. And we went to the statue of the founder of the modern Sunday school, Robert Riggs. in Victoria Gardens in the city of London.
Okay.
It was a marvelous experience to be able to see and look at the history of where the movement came from and where the movement is today. And I say that because a lot of people look at it as just a side product, a byproduct of what you ought to be doing. But it's a mighty movement. And as long as I am upon the face of this earth, as long as God have me on this earth, I am going to be a proponent for the Sunday school movement.
Wow.
In our communities, in our churches, and wherever it ought to be.
How else people can have the discipline to learn about the Ten Commandments? The community is there, right? And just say we're doing sporting events, we're doing programs. That is all good. But what about the enlightenment of God that we take one day and go to the church and understand that thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill a little baby like Bella.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reason why? Listen why thou shalt not kill. Pastor, again, tell us what Jesus said, what would happen to you if you harm a child.
It is better, and I hope somebody is writing this down, it is better that you take a millstone, and I describe a millstone as a heavy concrete block, not just a block. Tie that around your neck with a piece of rope and jump into the Atlantic Ocean and try swim with a millstone around your neck.
Because you know what's going to happen to you when the judgment day.
Yeah.
God is going to have a special place for you.
For offending children.
For offending children.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to say, this is why I say when we talk, we need to explain reason why thou should not kill. And then we say, well, Bella. And then you say, religion, what Jesus said. And then you would understand those exact words. Because anyone understand, Christ is a man of peace.
Yes.
Not vengeance. Absolutely. And if he is saying something like that, so you know that's a serious offense in God's eye, right?
Let me tell you. You remember when the people was bringing the children to Jesus? The disciples say, the disciples try to stop that. As far as they're concerned, man, Jesus don't have time for no children. Jesus had to rebuke them. He said, suffer the little children
to come unto me.
And he took them in his arms and he blessed them.
Because they grow.
Yes.
Knowing they know Christ.
Absolutely.
They'd have that in them. And that keep them safe. Yeah. And they know how to survive.
Yeah. You see, what people don't understand, the child today is the adult for tomorrow.
That's right.
We were all children.
Yes.
Suppose someone had done things like that to us.
Yes.
Would we be here?
No.
So we have to take a more proactive and realistic look at how we are training and dealing with our children.
We're not doing
it. And like I said, particularly from the church point, we got to get them back in Sunday/Sabbath schools.
Yes.
That's where they learn. That's where they are nurtured. That's where they get the compass of their life intact and know the direction that they're going in. So that when they reach the age of maturity, it wouldn't be too hard for them to give their life to Christ.
And I want to just say this. When the lady said, little Bella went over there to her, you know, and she said that she, you know, felt that. I was going to say something, but anyway, I think I remember. So what I was saying is, it was kind of hard on the lady, right? So what I'm saying to you is she went for help. Do you know in our community right now, with the COVID-19 and you was not really active the way you were supposed to be, the way you really normally be before the 19 months of lockdown with the COVID-19. But before that, you was very active. And you know that you said it earlier that many places are asking you to open the Sunday school park because the kids are a little bit up and down. You know why I'm saying that? Listen, in the communities in Nassau right now, only kids are on the streets.
That's true.
Only kids are on the street. You ain't seeing no 135, 40 hanging with the kids on the streets in Nassau right now.
Yes, you are right. And at one point I wondered if it was still the summer school, if the schools were still on summer break, for the amount of children I would see around. But fortunately, and I say this, and I want to say this, fortunately, we
from our Sunday school perspective, we have been able to keep in contact mm-hmm. with all of our students, either by telephone, and we would have visited them, drop off their little grocery bags.
Yes, you've been doing a wonderful job.
And make sure they got, and we did that, we did that every week since the pandemic.
Wow.
Every week. We didn't miss. Who we couldn't call by phone, we get it to them. And that is how we've been able to keep
in touch. And know what direction the kids are headed in.
Exactly. And the parents were so grateful for that.
Yes.
And still grateful for that. And they are now asking what we can do for Christmas.
yes, because they look up to you.
They're looking forward now to that. But I say that to tell you that we can do anything we want to do to keep in touch with our community.
Yes.
If we want to do it.
Yes.
If we want to do
it. Yes. So I was just saying that to tell you the state of our country's in, and that's why we need community-minded boys enough community centers in the community. We need the churches on board to really be functional, the way Mr. Ferguson is describing it, because he is very active in his community. He's done over 40 years on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And, you know, he's retired now, and now he's still giving back because he sees it's a need to uplift the community, be supportive of the community, and be that voice in the community who people can depend on, you know. So I just want to say that. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Good night.
Oh, good evening.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, this is good. Is that Scrooge? Am I on the program?
Yes, you're on the program.
Listen, I'm a first time caller. My name is Howard Newbold.
Mr. Newbold. My old principal. I can tell you the story. All right, go ahead, Mr. Newbold.
Well, listen, it's so refreshing every Friday evening to listen to you. Well, Scrooge, you've done remarkably well. And, of course, my brother and bishop, ACP John Ferguson, now retired, on the program, Big Harvest Tent, and, of course, the rally in the alley. I could not resist calling this evening. But it's such a joy because, I spent about 25 years working in that area among the students and parents of Grantstown, Baintown, Centerville, that area there. And, I mean, it has been a tremendous experience for me. So just calling to encourage you and to say how much I appreciate all of the sentiments being expressed and what you continue to do, Scrooge, keeping the community together and, of course, telling your great story, which is an inspiration to
so many
young people.
Wow, thank you very much.
Let me just say something about Minister Howard Newbold. You see, like someone said, if you don't tell your story, nobody else is going to tell it for you.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in that. Yes. And Mr. Newbold, at C.R. Walker, has left an indelible mark. He may not want me to say it, but I believe that he is one of our most illustrious educators. And when the history of education is written in this country, Howard Newbold's name have to be there.
Oh, let me tell you.
C.R. Walker is the model school.
Oh, let me tell you.
On his watch.
Yes. Let me just tell the people out there. He is just like you. Mr. Newbold, I was probably the worst student in C.R. Walker in 1991-92. Mr. Newbold was the principal, him along Mr. Barr.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing a graffiti on the wall at C.R. Walker. I was supposed to report to his office. We had an incident at the sports center, and Mr. Newbold was questioning all the students. And he got our name, and he lined us up. So I was outside, and I took my pen, and I was right. I was drawn on this box now. Mind you, I was a troublesome young man. In school, but I could read and write and smart, but I was a troublesome young man. I got a lot of guys who came from Don Lewis, and they be going to C.R. Walker.
Yeah.
So I thought Mr. Howard knew was just a pushover. Mm-hmm. I come with a tally from the street and all that, So I ended up outside his office. He said, tell me, wait outside. So I lose track, so I take my pen and I start to write on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, look here.
Mr. Newbold come outside and he see me writing that on the graffiti and he said, come here, Valentino. Boy, look, he came in there. He put the cane on me. And he tell me, see all them spots on the wall, see how I walk up? That's me. And I used the roughest and toughest in the school, you know.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah? He said, you clean all them.
Yes.
Me. Now yeah. You know what it is? Yeah. I like to be the bully yeah. and all that. See, this changed me because now I got to be on the low key. Now everyone in the school laughing at me because why is everyone in classes? Mm-hmm. I got to go clean the school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, so now I can't deal with Mr. Newbold because Mr. Newbold can show me discipline.
Yeah.
And he telling me what I did wrong. Now I can't be intimidated at him because he let me know he is in charge.
Yeah.
And he didn't suspend me. He made me go and clean the school. Yeah. And he was coming to class every day. So I used to duck class. I couldn't duck class.
Yeah.
I see Mr. Newbold every day. I get so yeah. tired. I was yeah. in school from 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was a tiny student after yeah. that up to see our walk
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And he put me in line. And since he put me in line, I put my friends in line.
Yeah.
And then we were able to go there. Mr. Newbold is a tremendous
oh,
educator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One of the best.
One of the best.
One of the best.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, yeah. I'm so happy. I didn't even know you remembered me. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'm really happy, Mr. Newbold. Yeah. You have a wonderful... wonderful retirement, and you are one of the best. And I hope that more teachers
yeah.
be that stern.
Yeah.
You know, he could have suspended me,
oh, yeah.
and he could have, you know, but he monitored me. And,
yeah.
and guess what? I started to get my grades up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Newbold. We're going to take this last call. We're going to take this last call.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Oh, you still there? Oh, you still there? Go ahead, Mr. Newbold.
I got disconnected, but I got back on. But,
awesome.
You know, you, as I said, you're doing a fine job, and it happened to all of us during our development.
Yes.
As teenagers, we didn't see the things that were actually holding us back, but it took individuals, and, you know, so many of our students have come back to us and said, you know, I didn't see at that time, but now I've become parents myself. I see mm-hmm. what I now, the importance of what occurred so that I can, you know, help my own children. But Valentino, you are doing a fantastic job. Listen to the cadre of persons who come on your show and you share your experience with them. Let me tell you, you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy. I feel so good tonight. Yeah, sharing your voice. I can't believe it.
Yes, man. I listen continuously. I'm out there, but I listen. I listen
yes.
in, sir. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you very
much. Take care, sir, and you do extremely
yes.
you do well. And Bishop,
yes, sir.
Continue the marvelous work.
Thank you very
yes.
much, sir.
Harvard Newbold.
Oh, yeah.
The educators,
yeah.
they were just
yeah.
awesome. They
yeah.
were strict,
yeah.
but they talk to you.
Yeah.
They're going to let you know why they're punishing you.
Yeah.
And they're going to be after you.
Yeah.
And that changed me, you know, because
yeah.
that's why I could always remember Harvard Newbold. Because
yeah.
when he put it on me,
yeah.
and he made me clean the school, and I look at it, boy, this man, I think I got that break. I got my face short, but up.
Yeah.
But boy, looking, because I'm going to get that little couple of licks no more
yeah.
now, you know?
Yeah.
and I get licked, I get them in the front of people,
yeah.
and all the students laugh at them because, you know,
yeah.
I's a bully now.
Yeah.
Now I can't be bullied with Mr. Newbold.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? So
yeah.
everyone getting off, yeah, try it.
Yeah,
yeah, I go to Mr. Newbold. Where you like, looking, I brought me out of school, right out of school. Yes.
Very good.
But now, we have a few more minutes. We have 30 minutes, I mean 25 minutes.
Yes.
Let me turn it over. What you want to talk about now?
Well, let me say, Valentino, that first let me say your program indeed
yes.
is a very good program, and I'm happy that you invited me to be your guest tonight. But as you have said before, you know, I am actively involved in the community, and I cannot help it, and I am a proponent, always will be until I leave the face of this earth, dealing with our young people, the future of our country, the future of our churches, all of our churches. And when I say churches, I'm not just talking about any one denomination. All of our churches are in densely populated communities. That is, communities where there are hundreds, and I dare say thousands.
At risk
youth, young men who pass up and down. And some of them are only looking for someone to say, come,
Come let me help you. What is your problem? What is worrying you? What is bothering you?
Become their father.
Yeah. They're looking for that. And I see it every day, you know. And like I said, man, I literally born and grew up in the church. Yes. I understand church work. I know what it is to do the work and to do the work of an evangelist, to evangelize and do. But you cannot just talk things. You have to do things. And that's why Jesus had these 12 disciples. And he had them go into various portions of where they live. And they made disciples of other people. You know, nothing is more satisfying when a mother can bring her little wayward son to you and say, "Sir, I am so happy that this boy came to the Sunday school because the boy was bad. The boy had no respect for me. But now I hear the boy trying to repeat the fruit of the Spirit. I hear the boy talking about the Ten Commandments. What's so old-fashioned about that? Thou shalt not kill. That ain't nothing old-fashioned.
And give a reason why thou shalt not kill.
And give a reason. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance against such, there is no law. Mm. We have a lot of our young men, they don't have no patience. They just don't have it.
They go from zero to 1,000.
Yeah.
I was like that. I was going from zero to 1,000.
They have no sense of reason.
No sense of reason.
You cannot talk to them.
Not when they're angry.
When they're angry.
You're in big trouble.
You're in trouble.
Listen, you're in trouble.
You are in serious trouble in the hands of an angry fella.
You're in trouble.
Because when he finished with you, then he realized, you know, I should not have done that.
He cooled down.
He had no patience. Mm. No one ever taught him that, you know. And that's why I really give a lot of credit to teachers, you know.
Right.
What these teachers go through in our schools,
yeah,
man, they ought to be commended.
Yes.
They ought to be commended because in a lot of these homes, that's the only way there is order because of what these teachers do between 9 and 3.
Of course.
You ever pass by, I gotta use C.I. Walker as an example. Yeah. You ever pass C.I. Walker after 3 o'clock?
Yes.
Man, that's a whole nation moving there.
Yes, yes. Yes.
A whole nation. Yes. You have to slow down because of the young traffic. People yes. and the traffic.
Yes.
That's only one school.
Yes.
So think about those other schools and those other sections of New Providence. So I really commend teachers who take the time out every day to do these things. And I always tease my daughter, who's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "How you do it?" She said, "Well, Daddy, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. This is a part of what I do." And I tell you the kind of of guidance that our young people need. Man, you can't be on the wall sitting down.
Mm.
You can't be on the wall sitting down. You have to be a part of what's going on. You know, our Sunday school program was so effective and is so effective. I remember when I went on a training course, when I went on a trip, a course really, in Hawaii. And I took some of the CDs that I had of the
yes,
Sunday school and the Sunday school rally in the alley. I connected with a gentleman from India. And when he looked at that, he said, "Man, I need this kind of program in India." And let me tell you, it had to have been divine because I have made 2 trips to India. 2 trips.
I saw it.
I call it missionary journeys. The last trip I took my wife with me so she could...
In India.
India.
It's pretty beautiful.
Chennai, India. One of the most beautiful places you want to be.
I hear that.
To be able to teach Jesus Christ...
In India?
In India.
Jesus Christ in India?
Man, let me tell you something, man. The Hindus.
Hindus, yeah, the Hindus.
You know what it is to go among the Hindus... And you saying you come to bring Jesus Christ?
Wow.
Man, that was divine. And I did that. All because of what I was doing and being obedient to my call where I am here in Nassau.
Wow.
You know, a lot of young people, a lot of people who have been called by Christ are living beneath their privilege, I should say, because they are fearful and not... They don't have the kind of
passion to go into our communities and do what needs to be done. You can drive throughout our entire inner city from Wolf Road, all around Angleston, the Grove, and you can literally do anything proactive to help with our young people. And that's why I'm saying the avenue that has opened up, we have a lot of young people, young teachers, young scholars who are in all of these churches who have been trained to deal with young people. But for some reason, they feel as though nobody tell me do nothing, so I ain't gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Nobody had to tell me what to do.
The father told you.
Yes.
And you listen.
And I listen.
Once you're ready to listen, right?
Man, let me tell you.
You gotta listen.
It was like a call, a vision, mm-hmm. and a direct link.
And you receive it.
And I received it.
That's because that comes with this.
Yeah.
That comes with discipline and free in your heart. You have no hatred in your heart.
No, absolutely.
You have no jealousy against absolutely. Nobody. So your heart is free so God can connect with you because you have a clear channel.
I have no reason to treat a man the way he ought not to be treated as a human being. Like you said, I spent 40 years of my most productive life in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And if I had to do it, I'll do it again because the force was a university for me. It connected me where I probably would have never been connected in terms of relationship, meeting people, how to treat people and deal with people. I was able to arrest, like you said. I had no problem with that.
Look, we're here.
Yeah.
You know.
I moved up the ranks by the grace of God, no problem. And at the end of my tour of duty, I retired.
Yes.
And that chapter, I joined with my head up. I left with my head up.
Wow,
that chapter of my life is finished. The point I'm making is you have to have a vision for your life, where God wants you to be at certain times in your life, and you have to find out if you're not there, why you're not there. And I think a lot of it happens because a lot of people are not obedient to what God has called them to do. They know it. They can't sleep at night, but they just won't answer the call.
They want to keep on doing what they want to do. Free your mind. You know, and let me say this to anyone who does. This is a former assistant commissioner of police in studios. All right? That was a guy who he himself was in charge of the firearms unit. And I was not an enemy, but I was someone who needed to be sought out because I was endangering the lives not only of myself, but of my countrymen and my country. So I was in the wrong. Mr. Ferguson then was right. Okay, now I was failed by the environment that I was living in. That's the fault of the village, and that's the fault of the government at the end of the day. But I want us to be mindful and understand that Mr. Ferguson is speaking from a perspective to let those know and understand how it's so important to invest in the inner city community. So, Mr. Ferguson, if anyone wants to help with a small donation or wants to assist you in any type of way, the caller said earlier, said that, you know, you mentioned the fact that people would drive to, and the caller mentioned, I think Happy Noah said that, you know, some of them want to help, but they don't know how to help. But this is how you can help. You can help by looking up Big Harvest Community Center, and if you want to assist, you can look it up in the yellow pages.
Yeah, let me say that Big Harvest is a registered NPO. We are registered under the new Act,
mm-hmm.
and it's a transparent organization, Big Harvest. And we are there. We have proper structure. And like I said, I wouldn't be a part of anything that is not...
No, sir, your words speak of fair. Your credibility is... We don't need to hear that.
I say that for the record. But the point I'm making is anyone, no matter... It may be someone who want to give us some grocery to help out.
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't matter. You know. I can start to call names of people, but for fear of not of leaving out someone, people who have helped
and continue to help.
When we have our Sunday school rally in the alley, I mean, it's amazing the amount of people who come and do and say what they have to say. And you know, that's one of the things that we do. Wow. You know, it's community based.
Yes.
You know, and we are doing what we have been mandated and called to do. I always tell people, you can have a mission statement. Anyone can have a mission statement. But if you cannot connect with that statement that you say your organization has for its mission, then that's all it is.
Yes, yes.
A mission statement that you put on a letterhead.
Wow.
That's all it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're making some good points. Also, what I was going to say now? Okay, yeah. And you've been doing Big Harvest Community Center for
25 plus years.
25 we've been there years. For
20, we started in 1995, September, under an old tent.
I remember.
Yeah.
And I want to say this. If those in the country wants to help, there are persons like Pastor Walter Henschel. He gives a food distribution center on Wolf Road. If you want to help, you can stop by and assist him any way you can. You got Reverend C.B. Moss and Dan Tan. You also have Pastor Nan down in Dan Tan also. You have Pastor Hugh Roll to Salem Union Baptist Church. You have Lenahan Bahamas. And any, especially the homes, you know, if you want to really contribute, we have a lot of homes, you know, Ranfley Home for Children and et cetera like that.
Yeah.
And if you want to help, take a drive sometime. You know, you might not know where to start because you might not know Mr. Ferguson or you might not know me. But if you don't know nobody, just look at the Ranfley Home, the hostel, the AIDS Center, you know, because we need to look at that too, because there are a lot of people who are AIDS and are in the center, not to discriminate, because we can't discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to be able to assist. So these places are available if you want to help. So there's many, just take and say, you know, I want to help, but I don't know where to start. So look at the community-based organization, look at the Ranfley Home, look at the hostel, look at the AIDS thing, even look at the Princess Margaret Hospital, because we get babies who are in hospital, who don't have no mom and dad, and the state is taking care of them. You know, so you could help in many, many ways.
I must add this, Abskuji.
Go ahead, sir.
As this pandemic, let me tell you, this pandemic has caused the whole world, really, to come to its senses, and it brought the world to its knees.
Yes. Back to the old way?
Yeah, on its knees, and the Bahamas was no exception.
Yes.
And the tremendous outpouring of love for our fellow human being and fellow Bahamians, I have not seen that in many, many years. Not even in my lifetime.
I could say,
and
yes.
I say that because every church, every community center, everybody, I believe, did their best to distribute what they have to the people. And I listened to a lot of people, you know, were talking about what has happened, Lend a Hand Bahamas and all of those places. The various social clubs talk about people who have contributed, corporations and companies that have made tremendous contribution to the welfare and the actual feeding of our people. And this pandemic has caused people who never thought that they would have been on a food line
to be on a food line. Wow.
That's what has happened. And as you can appreciate also, the pandemic came on the heels of Dorian. You know, Dorian started it. And the pandemic
finished it.
And we don't know what the future holds with all of this talk about climate change, etc. We can't take anything for granted now.
No, we can't take anything for granted.
But what we can do is pull together and remember that God is still in control.
And something is coming and we need to pull together. All the signs are there.
Yeah.
All the signs with Little Bella speaking over the rest of kids in the country shows you that, you know, you can do more. You know, I, like you said, I don't want to discuss the case, but when I look at it right, asking for help, and then when I heard the response of, one mentioned said they wanted to call the police, and they did not, based on the fear of the young man, because they saw him like a person, a problem, you know? never show a sign of fear to intimidate a person who harms a young kid. Never show fear, hey? Because God has you. Speak up. It's like nothing to call social service. It's nothing to call 919. It's nothing to call a pastor, okay? You might not want to go to the police, okay? Hey, because the guy looks dangerous or is dangerous. Well, secretly, email, call 911, call, what's the hotline, you know? Because fear, when I listened, it was fear.
Yeah.
It was fear. Fear of someone who they feel would harm them for stepping in. Yeah, that might be true, but there's other ways to work around it. So be a guardian angel to all the kids in the country. And I want to say to the parents, this goes to you, man and woman. Stop abusing your child. Because out of anger, you can hit a child and then she get a blunt force trauma. Okay? Because out of anger. So be mindful. Stop being abusive, cursing your child. You know? She was only 4. And we have, Mr. Ferguson, start getting about it. So if you look at the report of abuse against children in the country at social service, it's in the hundreds, yeah, in the thousands. Yeah. So this Bella is just one incident of a sad tragedy, an emotional tragedy, but she died. But we have many abusive cases in the country right now going on. That's why it's so important that you say, train the child, he or she from 1-2, to become a productive citizen so that they won't be abusive to their children.
Right.
You understand? So that they be parents to their children, you know? And I just want to make that comment on that. You know, stop cursing your child. If you just meet somebody, don't go leave your child with that poison because you don't know what type of personality that poison is. You only seeing the smiles now. You don't know the poison when they're mad. When you leave, you don't know how the poison treating your child when you go out. It's not the child's parent. So definitely, he or she, unless it's the poison who loves children.
Yeah.
Poison who loves children, love any children. I love children. I love my son. Dad, but I also love other children.
Yeah.
So the same thing, I want happiness for my son and him to be safe. I want it to happen for anyone other children who are around me in the level Lewis Street and Grandstand area.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this to you. Stop cursing your children. Stop leaving your children with irresponsible poison. Stop letting love for yourself, let it blind you from a stranger coming in your life to harm your children. No, no. Making the wrong decision. Yeah. I just want to say that. We have 5 more minutes, you know, and I want to really get this last part.
Yeah.
You travel the world, but you had a great honor of meeting the late, great Colonel Powell.
Oh,
United States. He was a Secretary General.
No.
What do we was? 5-star general?
General.
4-star.
Yeah. General Powell was a 4-star general in the United States Army, retired.
And you met him.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
so tell us about your experience.
Well, boy, I tell you, you know, I remember that like yesterday. General Powell was here to attend a conference, I think, of foreign Caribbean ministers in the Bahamas. Because he didn't stay that long. And one of the itinerary was a visit to the Boys Industrial School, Simpson Penn. And, oh, man, I tell you, I had the honor of escorting him when he went there and coming out and, you know, just being in his presence, that was, you know,
you felt something.
Man, you felt the,
power
of
aura.
Leadership.
Yes, the aura.
At 4-star general. I mean, I was a superintendent at the time and I was in uniform, but looking at this man, you know, I said, man, this man, and he was Secretary of State.
And he's powerful, and powerful.
You're talking about a world leader, man.
Yeah, powerful.
He served under 4 presidents and such a humble man.
Yes.
The humility of the man, you know, some people when they reach that state, you can't talk to them. But this man, you know, he chatted and he was quite comfortable in who he was.
Mm.
You know. And I have that, you know, that is, you know, I tell you that's one of the highlights of my career and I'll never forget that. Never will I forget it. You know, never will I forget it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Make sure you won't describe from our accent. Yeah, you can feel the aura.
Yeah.
There are certain people who has aura.
Yeah.
Because, like, I met Michael Jackson.
Okay.
In 94, 95 at Cody's, the best space screen. Just yeah. like how you said it. You know, yeah. I saw him come on the car, and I looked at him. Yeah. I was over yeah. by yeah. the bank. Yeah. For my friend yeah. changed the check. And yeah. I saw this gentleman yeah. come walking in. And,
yeah.
and I know, I yeah. we love Michael Jackson. Yeah. But when I met him, and I hugged him.
Yeah.
And he was sociable. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I hugged him.
Yeah.
And he actually let me come inside Cody's when they locked down the whole Cody's.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, he let me hug him.
Yeah.
And then I say, you so short, because yeah. he's a short guy. And yeah. I say, who's Michael? He said, yeah, Michael yeah. Jackson. So you could feel the aura. Like, yeah. So once the car pulled up,
mm-hmm.
I could just feel something. When I yeah. when I went to him, it was like, you know, you feel something like, yeah. it was something special. Yeah. I mean, something special about all of us.
Yeah.
But for some strange reason, you could just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No. No, it's a heartwarming experience when you come into the presence of these people. They're human beings,
yes,
just like us.
Yes,
they're human beings, and you know, and but you know, they hold these positions. I call them temporarily,
mm-hmm.
you know, because after all, they just fade out.
Yes,
and that's it. You know, life is a stage. You know,
yes,
you come, you play your part, you play it well, and then the curtain falls.
Yes. And I want to say, I hugged him. But I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
he had his bodyguard. He was yeah. lying off in the front of Cody's.
Yeah.
And you know, I said, oh, they kind of a little biggity. Yeah, so yeah. I said, hey, watch it, buddy. Let me see what it is. I said, Michael Jackson. Yeah. yeah. So I said, so I could come? He said, come on. And I went
yeah.
to him.
Yeah.
And when I went to him, like, my emotions got the best of me.
Yeah.
And when I reached out and I grabbed him, he didn't even push me over. He didn't yeah. even push me over. He just take his hand and he put his hand around me.
Yeah.
And then we walk inside with Cody's.
Yeah.
And then he locked the door from Cody's. And
yeah.
then I said I could bring my friend Terry.
Yeah.
Because my friend Terry is there. And,
yeah.
you know, we had a good experience. Yeah. So yeah. I just want to say to you, Pastor Ferguson, you're doing a tremendous job. And if we want to have a village again, we're going to have to invest in programs like the Big Harvest community, many other organizations around the country who are in the community, because Bella asked for help. She could have been the pastor, she could have gone to Pastor Ferguson, and she would have been able to assist or the grandmother who was sitting across the road who Bella went to. She would have known Pastor, and she would reach out to Pastor and say, Pastor, I think this little girl needs to be left home alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some kind of stuff going on, what we don't like, you need to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have been the one to, as a retired officer, you still, police is always a police, mm-hmm. you would be able to liaison the matter to some officers
yeah.
who would in turn
yeah.
come and check yeah. me and send it out. And yeah. that's the kind of stuff we need in the yeah. country, you know, because we have to protect our loved
yes,
ones
at all costs. We have to. We have to be our brother's keepers and do all that we can mm-hmm. to protect these innocent children.
And the predatory, what do you call it? They're trying to pass the sexual tingum act. What it is? The Marco Archer.
Oh, Marco Archer.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd just like to say this. That is all fine and good. I hope the alert know who all the sexual abusers out, where they live, and what community they're in. But we're going to have to do more than that. We're going to have to start from when they're 1, 2, 3, so that we instill in them what is wrong, so that we don't have guys who commit those heinous crimes against Abella. Because to me, it seems that he was very frustrated, and it seems to me he take his frustration out on the 4-year-old, and it seems to me like he was stumping her to have blood forms trauma for her ribs to be broken and for her ribs to pass her organs. So it seems to me he was over aggressive. So we have to be able to teach the kids 10 commandments. We have the proper programs in the community. Let them know what's right or wrong. And before we go, Pastor, let them know what's right or wrong. Could you say that for me one more time? What Jesus say? What would happen to anybody, a mother, a father, a stranger, a citizen? What would happen to you if you mess with a child?
It is better. And I want people to understand this mm-hmm. clearly. This is in the Bible. It is better that you take a millstone, which is a heavy block of concrete, get rope, tie it around your neck, tie it tight, stand up on the dock,
and jump overboard, it's better for you to do that than to offend one of these little ones.
And there you have it. Would you like to say anything on closing, Mr. Ferguson?
I would like to say that, you know, I pray for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that we would be a model nation when it comes to the caring of our citizens, particularly the children, so that we will have a better, more productive nation in the future, and by the grace of God, that we remain faithful to all that we have been promised and what we are promising to do to help our children, and that everybody will be proactive and doing all that they can in their little corner, brighten your corner where you are.
Wow. There you are from Big Harvest Community Center, Mr. Ferguson. He's doing an outstanding job. If you wish to support, you can see he has a registered organization, Big Harvest Community, and you can get in contact with him. And if you don't know how to help and you want to help, there's many other organizations in the country who would need funding, need support. And you might could be a tutor or a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer who come and give and lend a hand, you know. So I just want to say that if you want a better country, listen to what we are saying. We need to build a village back in the communities where we have all hands on deck. We get the police working with the community leaders. We have the churches working with the community leaders. We have the citizens, know who the pastor is, know who the president is of the community center, so that we have a network where we can help one another, protect one another. Okay? And I just want to say to my former teacher, Howard Newell, sir, I just want to say to you, you made my day. I always remember that in 1992, and you made an impact on my life, because if I didn't get that discipline, I would have been, I still would have think I was a bully, and I would have never started to say, you know what, for the first time in my life, I get someone who put me in my place, and that was good. I needed that. And I wanted to say this too. Them couple of whops I get from the principal, Mr. Howard Newell, that changed me, and I needed that. That slowed me down. And he didn't whop me all about my back and my hand and stuff. You know where he whopped me? He whopped me on the muscle. He whopped me on my hip. And he put like 6 or 8 whop on me. You know, I take the first 2. But boy, when I get him out of 6, I start to dance. And you know what? I don't want to know more. So I want to say thanks to Howard Newell, and especially to you, Pastor Ferguson, Big Harvest Community Center.
Thank you.
I want yours to please be supportive to the organization, and bear in mind what we're saying to you can make all the difference in our country if we do what we just talked about in the show. Strengthen the community, build a family structure up again, build a village again, and we'll be A-okay. But like Pastor said, we're heading in the right direction. We're seeing progress. So don't let little Bella, Don't let little Bella.
I can say this.
Don't let that Bella. Tragedy, which has hurt the hearts of many beings in this country, because all of us have loved ones, and everyone know that could have been our grandkid, that could have been my cousin, that could have been my daughter. And we all feel that. So let's try and make a better Bahamas. So I'd like to say, see you next week on Inside the Inner City, and I want to say thanks again.
Thanks,
Pastor Ferguson. I want to say thanks to your wife.
Yes.
She has to be very wonderful to keep you going. You know, it's tiresome working in the community. There's so many needs. There's so many persons coming to you for needs and wants. It's crazy. But you'll maintain the pace, and I think God is going to continue to bless you. And like I said, you're a great man. And for those guys that don't want the streets, this gentleman here was the one who arrested me with his team of officers. And that changed my life around also, just like what happened in Newport. All these things happened to me in my life. And guess what? All those experiences made me a better person. Because I know one thing, after that, I wasn't told no more gun, because I don't want to get no gun no more. I didn't want no gun no more, because then I know the penalty.
Yeah.
Okay? I just want to. And now look, we're in studio, so just change your mindset. You don't know what you can accomplish. Change your mindset. Listen to persons who are giving you good sound advice. Stay away from problem. Read your Bible. Apply it to your life. and help others and spread the word of God. Eh? Get rid of hatred. Get rid of jealousy. Eh? And have a mindset that one day you want a house, you want a car, and you want a family. And then in the near future, you would like to see your great-great-grandchildren. And then you know what that means? You live more than your score. When they say a seventh, you live more than that. But you live to see your great-grandchildren. And that's what all of us want here in the Commonwealth Bond. We all want to live a life where we're comfortable. So without further ado, I hope you had a wonderful time listening to the show. So we'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City. And I want to say thanks again to Mr. Ferguson, Big Hours Community Center.
Thank you for having
What's Ali?
Indeed. Indeed.
Excellent, man.
Thank you.
La 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 la. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect.